Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for giving us this time so that we may hear your word. Bless this time that it may be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm about to step on some toes, and let me go ahead and apologize ahead of time, but there's a pet peeve that I have that I think that I need to share with not only you, but for the internet world out there, because it's a problem that we have in this country. And my pet peeve is bad grammar. It just eats me away. But it's not every bit of bad grammar. I'm not like, you know, an English teacher or something like that. But I will say there's one thing in particular that just... So I'm going to give you a little quiz. Goes like this. Tell me which one is right. Johnny and I are going to the store with Ben. Johnny and me are going to the store with Ben.
Johnny and I.
Johnny and I. Right. All right. Now here's the second one. Ben is going to the store with Johnny and I. Ben is going to the store with Johnny and me.
Me.
Yeah, see, y'all aren't quite as, you're not quite as sure on that one. We did hear a lot of right answers. But it is the second one, Johnny and me. Because you see, when you use I, it's the subject. And when you use me, it's the object. My English teacher taught me this little trick, if you don't know it. You just substitute a pronoun in its place. So you would say, we are going to the store with Ben, right? Not us are going to the store with Ben. Us would be equivalent to Johnny and me. But you would also not say, Ben is going to the store with we. See, that sounds really weird. Ben is going to the store with us, which would be Johnny and me. So now you know, world, that's the correct way to use the I. And I guess it gets on my nerves. Like, the first part doesn't really bother me. If somebody goes, me and Johnny, that's just regular plain talk. The other one, people are trying to use good grammar. They're just wrong. And that just, that just chaps my hide. But pet peeves are just, they're minor annoyances, right? Like crooked pictures or hearing people chew. I mean, you know, that's not like going to send you over the edge unless you're already in a bad mood. But there are things that absolutely infuriate us. You could be having a great day, and when this happens, it just makes you mad. For me, rude people. Oh, rude people just make me mad. You know, I mean, look, traffic is horrendous in Lexington. It is for everybody. Nobody is excused from the horrific traffic. So if I let you out, wave. I don't owe it to you. You didn't do anything to deserve me letting you out of the traffic. Just say thank you. It's not hard. And if somebody messes up your order, be nice. People make mistakes. Believe it or not, you might even make a mistake every once in a while. There is no reason to bring anybody's mama into it, you know? and you know, let me tell you something infuriating. It happened just last night at 2:45. Why is it that smoke detectors only run out of batteries in the middle of the night? Can somebody please tell me that? It is 2023. So last night I had a dream that someone said, low battery. And I realized it wasn't a dream when Stacy wakes me up and says, something just said low battery. And so my smoke detector can now speak to me in addition to having a beep, but it can't wait until morning to speak to me. And it could also be helpful if it would tell me which one it is. I mean, I'm sitting here going, okay, is it that one? No, is it that one? Walking all around the house. Oh, and by the way, the new ones, they take AA batteries, not 9-volt batteries, which were downstairs that I had to go and get to replace the one that was right outside my bedroom. That just... absolutely infuriating, right? I mean, there are some things that are absolutely infuriating in this world. I mean, traffic can be infuriating. Somebody cutting you off can be infuriating. People who are staring at their cell phone instead of, you know, interacting with the people around them, that can infuriate some people. Coming to church and hearing about money can infuriate people. So we have a problem. Because here's the thing. Jesus talked about money a lot. There are only two things he talked about more than money. It's kingdom of God and love. Third place, money. And got really bad news for you today. Today's gospel lesson, it's kind of about money. Now you may be thinking, I didn't hear anything about money in there. Well, you see, here's the thing. Jesus is in a bad mood in chapter 21 of Matthew. If you got a Bible at home, go home today and write next to 21, Matthew 21, Jesus is in a bad mood. Because here's what happens. He comes in a palm parade. Great. I'm sure he felt good. But then, right after that, he gets off his donkey. Maybe it was uncomfortable. I don't know. And he goes and cleanses the temple. And then he's still on the wrong side of the bed when he wakes up the next morning because he went back to Bethany, comes to Jerusalem, curses a fig tree on the way, and then he starts teaching, and the elders and the chief priests, and now they're questioning him, and so he starts telling these parables, and then he tells the parable that we heard today. Now here's the thing. Why, you may ask? Okay, he cleansed the temple. Why? Because they were making it into a marketplace. They were banging a profit off of God. Uh-uh. Why did he curse a fig tree? Because it wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. Its job was to make fruit, and it wasn't doing it. And then number three, well, on the surface, it doesn't sound like any of those, right? Because what we have here is Jesus tells a story about a landowner. And the landowner, he makes a wonderful vineyard, and he plants all the vines, and he builds a fence around it, you know, makes a watchtower, a wine press, and then he leaves, and he rents it to some tenants. He leases it to some tenants. And, I mean, it works the same way it would work today, right? They work the land, they take care of everything, and then they pay part of the profits to the landowner. Well, it takes a long time to get a vineyard going, probably about 4 years. And so he goes out of the country. And so after they had made everything and were, you know, it's harvest time, he sends some slaves to do it. And rather than paying the slaves what was owed to the landowner, they killed one, beat another one, and stoned another one. Now, interesting. You know why they left one alive? So he could go back and tell. And so he went back, and so the landowner sent even more slaves, and they did the same thing to them. And then he goes, well, fine, I'll send my son because, you know, they'll respect him. And they're like, no, if we kill him, we can have it all for ourselves. We'll take his inheritance. And so they killed him too. Now, again, on the surface, this makes perfect sense, right? It says, okay, all of the slaves before were the prophets. The prophets that God had sent to tell the Israelites to repent, to tell the Israelites to live correctly, to tell the Israelites to bear fruit. And if you read the Old Testament, those prophets were not treated well. Many of them were killed. Many of them were outcast. Many of them were beaten. But then, finally, God sends his son because they'll respect him. And how was that son treated? He was killed. So it kind of matches up, right? But as we, the 21st century people of God, are hearing this, we're like, yeah, they shouldn't have done that. But I think that there's another way that we can also look at this parable. Because I think it's about why the tenants kept their stuff. Because you see, we hear and we might even utter the same thing a lot of times. Because there's a few reasons for justifiable homicide in this country. And one of them just happens to be somebody coming to your place trying to get what you have. Right? Well, if you take this from the tenant's point of view, that's exactly what they were doing. They were the ones that had worked this land. They were the ones who would pour their blood, sweat, and tears into all this. They had produced those grapes. They had crushed them and made the wine. This was their prophet. Who was this guy to come and try to take it from me? And so when he sends people, they get rid of them. And he sends somebody back to say, don't try it again. And then he does try again. And he keeps trying. Because why? This is my stuff. This is my land. These are my grapes. What makes you think that you deserve any of them? Now, the sensible people that we all were like, because he's leasing the land to them, right? It's his. And the deal was, all he had to do was give some of it back. That was the deal. Dear friends, everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. We are merely stewards of it. You see, these tenants, they were stewards. Because what does a steward do? A steward takes something that belongs to someone else and cares for it. That's what stewardship means. The very act of stewardship is caring for something that belongs to God. And it's not just money. It's our time, our talent, and our treasure. It's caring for that which God gave us to use, our bodies, our talents, our abilities to be able to serve. It's the time that we have to be able to, the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that God has given us to do what needs to be done. And it's also, yes, it's our money as well. But how much of the time do we say, it's my money, it's my time, it's my abilities? Oh, sure, I might give a little, a kick back a little bit, you know, to God. But at the end of the day, it's mine. I earned it, right? And that's exactly what the tenants did. They claimed everything that was produced as their own, and they didn't want to give any of it up. So if you want to know what makes the Lord livid, it's not producing fruit. It's not giving back to God that which is owed to God. Because you see, they weren't stewards. They weren't stewarding the stuff. They were stealing it, right? Which begs the question, are we stewarding or are we stealing? And that's the question I think that we need to go home and ask ourselves today. I'm not gonna send you home from here and say, I want you to get out your checkbook and balance it and make sure that you give more next week. I'm not saying that. What I am going to say, though, is sometime today, take a moment or two and just ask yourself, am I stewarding or am I stealing? Am I taking a portion of what God has given me to use, to bear fruit, to give? And am I giving some of it back, or am I keeping it all for myself? Because everything we have belongs to God. And I want you to imagine what it could be like if everyone actually was producing the fruit that we were called to produce. If everyone was giving back to the landowner that which he deserves. Can you imagine what we could do here in this place, what we could do for our congregation, what we could do for this community, for this state, for the world? Can you imagine what it would look like if all of God's people were actually stewarding instead of stealing? I can tell you a lot of the world's problems would just go away because we would be given our time to help. We would be given our talents, the things that make us special, and using them for ministry. We would be given our money, and it was all pulled together, imagine the amazing things it could do. This evening, the congregation council is going to meet to talk about the 2024 spending plan for ministry. It's the meeting that we all look forward to year-round. And we look at this, and it's like, wow, how are we going to do this? Well, I'll tell you how. It's because as we all steward what God's given us, as we all do our part, as we all bear fruit, we step back and see the amazing things that God can do here at Pisgah, in our lives, in this community, and in this world. So ask yourself, am I stewarding or am I stealing? Amen.